Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Estás escuchando Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Sooner, if the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick. But I love it, command me to be well, amen, amen, amen. Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that necklace and the good God, let me give you my life.
Welcome, everyone, to Mirrored Voices. We are back here on Encuentro Radio, encuentroradio.com.co. We are here in the studio today. My name is Hannah. I'm here with Michelle and Mariana. How are you both today?
Hello.
Good.
I was like sleepy because it's raining and it's cold. Yeah. But yeah, everything's okay.
The weather's so perfect for just being in bed and doing nothing.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're good.
Yeah.
How are you, Hannah?
I'm okay. I'm also kind of sleepy. The rainy, dark weather is affecting me today. And I had a meeting early this morning, so I've been at work since 7. So I'm a little tired from that, too. But we are here today to talk about another important issue here on Mirrored Voices. I do want to give a quick trigger warning for today's program. We are talking about the International Day for the Elimination of Sexual Violence in Conflict, which is recognized today by the United Nations. It is an important topic, but we also understand that talking about sexual violence can be difficult for a lot of people, can be triggering for people, so we always want to make sure that you take care of yourself, do whatever you need to do. If that means not joining us today, that's okay. Join us next week for a different topic. But for people that are interested in talking about this or have the kind of mental space today to be able to do that, welcome. You can always send us a message as well here at the radio station and join the conversation, because unfortunately, these are topics that we still really need to be talking about because they're still pretty big issues.
That's true.
Yes.
No, we just jinxed. That's all.
Who would like to go first for today's topic?
I can go.
Perfect.
So, well, I'm going to talk about Colombia, obviously, and I'm going to talk about that the 30% of victims of sexual violence in the armed conflict are girls or adolescents. So, when we talk about this, between 1959 and 2020, 50,760 victims of sexual violence have been registered throughout to the country within the framework to the armed conflict. So the 61.8% of the victims correspond to women, and the 30% to girls and adolescents. The most common age range for people who have suffered this type of abuse is between 14 and 17 years old. Of the victims of sexual violence with the ethnic affiliation, so the 87% correspond to Afro descent, 12% to indigenous people, 29% to Palenqueras, and 21% to people from the Gypsy people. So it's important to understand the context, because not all these people live in these big cities. It's more common that this happen so far to the big cities. Obviously, it's like difficult because there's like a lot of people that not believe that this happened. Actually, I don't remember exactly how years ago, but it happened that a girl that have maybe 14 years old trying to say that 7 men raped her, but they say no. I guess it was a indigenous girl. And they said, no, that's not true. That's not happened. But later, obviously, doing all the process that you need to do in the hospital, they proved that was 7 men rape her. But yeah, it's so difficult actually believe, not just a woman, more than an indigenous woman, Afro descent woman, that they was raped. more in the moment of the armed conflict that it's so difficult here, because we have that for a lot of years ago, but actually we have it right now. And right now it was more difficult with the Venezuela people, mm-hmm. with the Venezuela women, because obviously we know that the difficult situation that the people live in Venezuela, and they take the decision to come here. But these people don't have the opportunity to come to the big cities like Bogota, like Medellin, and they stay in the small town. Mm-hmm. And in that like part, it's when more appear the armed conflict, because the government not pay attention there. So obviously we need to understand that like the rape is the most frequent form. This type of violence includes forced nudity, sexual abuse and explosion, sterilization, forced pregnancy and abortion, threats of sexual content, sexual torture and practice, and the obligation to witness sexual acts. So obviously when you talk about this, it's like difficult that the people understand that this is continue happening, not just for the girls, for the woman in general. And if you can read all the books that exist here in Colombia that talk about of the violence that we suffer here in the country, one of them is just with girls and women, and how it's so difficult to be a woman here in Colombia. And yeah, like the situation here with the violence and all these things is so complicated here, because like in the history, this always happened and never believe a woman. And there's obviously that a lot of women dead in that place because these bad people kill her because she trying to talk. But obviously, if you can read a lot of books, you can understand that there's a lot of people that prefer be quiet about this topic and about the violence, because you can have big problems here in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And that's all. It's not like good notice, but that's the situation.
Mm-hmm. When I didn't volunteer for going first, I thought someone was going to go and talk about the history, but it sounds like we are going to talk about plus or minus the same thing. Because I also wanted to talk about like the impacts of sexual violence on children during conflicts. And I feel like, in a way, it's in relation to what mm-hmm. you've just said, like how it affects children, especially the girl child here in Colombia, which I think is almost the same in many parts of the world, but it's more, like, stronger here in Colombia, because we have cases where even the violence doesn't just affect women, but also affect children, which is... Yeah. Very interesting. I don't know if I should go or we're gonna have a song break.
We can do a quick song break. Today we're listening to Hozier for no other reason than I wanted to.
Yeah,
it goes with the rainy mood, and frankly, finding songs related to today's topic is quite difficult.
So we hope
you take a break and enjoy some music from Hozier, and we'll be right back. All right, Michelle, jump right in and share with us what you have today on the topic.
Okay, before I do that, I wanted to say a special shout out to a friend of mine. Her name is Lucy. She just sent me something with Rappi. I don't know what it is. I just got a message. Feliz cumpleaños, Peja. Gracias, Lucy. So I guess I have to wait until I get home to see what it is. But anyways, so the last week I was watching Dahmer. Like, it's a series about the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know if you have seen it.
I have not, no.
I saw in TikTok, but yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so after immense peer pressure, I decided to give it a try. And when I was watching it, like, it wasn't just showing, like, him murdering people for no reason and stuff like that, but they went deeper to talk about, like, his history and how he was a victim of violence in conflict, because his parents were always fighting and he had to see that. And at one point, his mom left him at home alone, and then she was like, oh, like, when you were doing school projects with your dad, you never asked me even once, so why should you care that I'm leaving you now? I'm leaving you and you can stay here with your father and stuff like that. So, like, as you watch the series, it shows that to some extent he was murdering these men because he didn't want them to leave him like the way his parents left him. So it was like a situation, like, this one time he tried to have a relationship and then, like, the guy had to go for work and he almost killed him before he left. He was like, how do I know that you're going to come back? Like, and then he was like, I'll be back in a week, I promise. But then, like, because of that childhood trauma, he found it hard to believe. And, well, at the end, he ended up killing him, which was sad. So it made me think about, like, how that violence impacts children. And sometimes these effects, these children, if they're not addressed and given the attention that they need, they, like, mature and they take them to adulthood and it affects the kind of people they grow up to be. So today I brought impacts of sexual violence on children during conflict. So the first one is psychological trauma. Children who experience sexual violence suffer severe psychological trauma. They may develop anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other mental health issues. And these effects can persist into adulthood. Now, this is something that is very important when it comes to children, because we understand that sometimes they may not be, like, the resources for, like, relatives or the community to give them the help that they need, but it's very important to know that these children may suffer long-term illnesses and mental health issues. And also, another one is physical harm. Sexual violence can cause physical injuries, infections, and sometimes unwanted pregnancies. Children are particularly vulnerable due to their smaller size and developing bodies. And this doesn't also help if it's a situation like Mariana said, that sometimes these children don't come forward because they're afraid that people do not believe them.
Yeah.
And at the end, they end up having
their own family, and they don't. How do you speak out against your own parents?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And sometimes you may have the confidence to speak up, but they don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you're stuck with, like, sexual diseases and an unwanted pregnancy, and you're gonna be a mom, and it's devastating. It's very sad, but it's part of the reality of the world that we live in now. And then another one is disrupted education. Conflict-related violence often occurs in or near schools. When children are targeted, their education is disrupted. Fear of violence may prevent them from attending school altogether. This is a case with some children who end up being dropouts. And sometimes because they don't have the confidence in the system or to talk to their parents. The parents may realize later that this happened, and it's important to have that bond with the children mm-hmm. or with our siblings, like our younger siblings, because sometimes they may feel unsafe confiding in parents, but if we're like their big sisters, their brothers, probably they'll find it easier to communicate about such things. And then also stigma and shame. Survivors of sexual violence, especially children, often face stigma and shame within their communities. This can lead to isolation and hinder their recovery. And then there's also long-term consequences. The impact extends beyond the immediate incident. Children may struggle with trust, relationships, and self-esteem. They may also be at a higher risk of engaging in risky behavior or becoming perpetrators themselves. This is where my example of Jeffrey Dahmer comes in. And yeah. Also, like, if these children are in a country, like, for example, where they can get easy access to drugs, that can also be a problem because some of them may end up relying on drugs to, like an escape to get away from their realities. And then also lack of support services. In conflict zones, access to medical, counseling, and legal support is limited. Children may not receive the care that they need to heal physically and emotionally. And I can imagine this is very prevalent in countries which are like at war currently, because if people are just struggling to like make ends meet or to get food for the day, how are they going to consider that their children that are facing problems and they need help in a situation like that? So efforts to prevent sexual violence during conflicts must prioritize protecting children and providing comprehensive support for survivors. I also wanted to... Those are the points that I had. Mm-hmm. But then I also wanted to share that in this other church that I sometimes volunteer, this other day we were fortunate enough to be invited to like a shelter, which is here in Bogota. And before, we were told that we were not supposed to like take pictures or share mm-hmm. the location of this house for the protection of the girls. So it's like a house where they provide housing for young women who have been victims of violence or like orphans because of that. Maybe mm-hmm. their parents were killed, something along those lines. And then what they do is they provide housing, they provide counseling, and they also provide education. And if there are some of the girls that would like to like make use of their hands to like make things in order to earn a living, there's also a branch that does that, which I found very interesting that such a place exists, mm-hmm. especially considering how there are so many cases of violence in Colombia. And I thought it was really amazing. And we got to like share with them for the day that we were there, and also to talk to them and also help them. And we also like did some things from them, like painting, because it was some sort of new, somewhat new house, so it needed a bit of paint, which was very interesting for me. And when I have such experiences, it makes me feel happy because I feel like I'm part of making a change in the world, which is amazing for me. So that is all I had for our lovely listeners today.
Thank you. Yeah, those spaces dedicated to survivors is really important for their survival also after after the incident, and to be able to continue. So it's great that these kinds of places exist, especially in cities. And I think also recognizing that people that live in more rural zones or further away from the city have even less access to that kind of really important help that could make a really big difference in their life.
Yeah, and actually there's people from rural souls that need to come to Bogota because they don't have other opportunity that more here. And I guess have this, like, open space is helping them because it's so difficult live all your life there and come here. That obviously the people that we born here in Bogota, we have like different like ideas, you know, and we don't have any problem about like all the things that happen in Bogota because it's more common for us, for that people is more difficult. But I guess all the projects that they want to do to try to help the women and the girls and the boys, it's so important. Continue with that.
Yeah. We're going to go to another song and then be right back to talk more about this UN Day.
Hand hurts, plates that mend my mere monstrosity. conflicts around the world and time immemorial, sexual violence has been used in every war, in every conflict, as a tactic of war. It is used as a tactic to humiliate, to dominate, to instill fear, and to displace dispersed population. During the genocide in Rwanda that lasted 100 days in 1994, between 200,000 and 500,000 women were raped. Liberia, over 40,000 during the civil war. Sierra Leone, over 60,000. It took, in fact, Resolution 1820 in 2008 to acknowledge that sexual violence in conflict exacerbates conflict when used or commissioned as a tactic of war, and that it is a threat to international peace and security. For the first time, you have the Security Council looking at war and conflict through the eyes of women and girls whose bodies have been part of the battlefield.
We are back. We just heard a very short video from Pramila Patten, the Secretary General's Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict. Hopefully you could hear it. I know the volume was a little low. I had it up as loud as it could go. Mm-hmm. But she's talking a little bit about throughout pretty much all of history, when there are times of conflict and times of war, women's bodies have been used as part of the battlefield, she says. So sexual violence has been a tactic in war for a long time, but it hasn't always been recognized as that. And a need to see the effects of war through the eyes and experiences of women. So this day, today, is, as we mentioned, the United Nations International Day for the Elimination of Sexual Violence in Conflict. This was adopted in 2015, commemorating June 19, 2008, when the Security Council resolution condemned sexual violence as a tactic of war and an impediment to peace building. As we've already mentioned, conflict-related sexual violence is considered war's oldest crime. It includes things, but not limited to, rape, sexual slavery, forced prostitution, forced pregnancy, forced abortion, and forced sterilization, forced marriage, and any other form of sexual violence directly or indirectly related to conflict. Mm-hmm. Now, if already in peace times, quote unquote, if it's hard for people to come forward and talk about cases of sexual violence or rape or, you know, denounce these crimes, you know, in the context of war, then it's even harder because it's seen as just kind of not as important or just a part of a price to pay during wartime or something that's not as big of a deal. Whereas obviously if it happens to you, it is a very big deal. The world is currently experiencing the highest number of conflicts since World War II, resulting in a record 117 million people forced to flee their homes, making them even more vulnerable to this type of violence. And it is a crime that is committed both by state and non-state armed groups, meaning if, you know, the state groups, you know, the military, your government, who is supposedly supposed to be protecting its citizens, mm-hmm. if the people working for that government are also the ones perpetrating the injustice, then it's like, well, where do you go? You have no faith in the justice system because the ones who are supposed to protect you are harming you. So then where do you go to seek justice? And that's a common theme around the world during these situations. This year, the focus for the United Nations for this topic for today is on healthcare facilities. And often, although considered illegal by many international conventions, often during war, hospitals are attacked. And this particularly impacts survivors of sexual violence puts women at higher risk.
Mm.
Healthcare workers, also people seeking healthcare, pregnant women trying to find, you know, healthcare during their pregnancy, or seeking hospital care for childbirth, children, all of these things, especially affected when healthcare buildings or hospitals are targeted during times of war. So ensuring safety of hospitals in conflict zones is really important for the well-being of survivors of sexual violence. And international humanitarian law protects hospitals from attacks, but the reality is very different, as we saw in the news just in like the first week of fighting between Israel and Palestine. After the Hamas attack on Israel and then Israel retaliating with a full-blown war on all of Palestine, in just that first week, there were 94 attacks on healthcare facilities in Israel and Gaza, killing 29 healthcare workers and injuring 24. And as much as the international community has tried to speak out in ways that they've also kept silent, it continues to happen and to be a big issue of targeting civilians, targeting innocent people and healthcare facilities and people who work in healthcare facilities as a price of war. And obviously, that shouldn't be the case. The UN publishes an annual report highlighting a few different areas, a few different countries. So, for example, they talk about Afghanistan, as well as Central African Republic. Colombia is also included in this year's report. The Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Israel and the State of Palestine, Libya, Mali, Myanmar, Somalia, South Sudan, the Sudan, Syrian Arab Republic, Ukraine, and Yemen are all included in this year's report. So these are all areas where there is significant conflict or war, and areas where women especially are victims of sexual violence. And men as well can be victims of sexual violence. Obviously, the rate that women are affected is always much higher.
That is true.
And you can find all of this information on the UN website, and they have a PDF of this year's report. I think it's interesting to see the context. For example, some of these countries are not as present in the news, at least not on this side of the world.
No. True.
So, you know, we've heard of Ukraine, we've heard of Israel and Palestine, we've heard of maybe Yemen, maybe, I mean, Colombia, obviously. But there are a lot of other countries on this list that maybe you haven't heard of or don't know what the conflict is. So we don't necessarily have time to go into all of it today, but you can look it up. There are a lot of similarities, as we've talked about, in terms of access to support for survivors and the difficulties. Always a criticism of the United Nations is looking for solutions is an area that really falls flat. For example, the first country on the list, I mean, it's in alphabetical order, so Afghanistan is first, and it talks about the reality in Afghanistan that in 2023, the Taliban took control and basically erased women from the public life, making them invisible and difficult to speak out. And there have been a lot of cases of sexual violence against women who try to speak out and protest, who are detained. Women's rights are very neglected. And so the recommendation that the UN gives just says, we call upon the Taliban authorities to respect, protect, and fulfill the rights and freedom of Afghan women and girls. Obviously, the Taliban is not going to do that because they don't believe women have rights. So, you know, there are things that are definitely lacking in terms of, like, finding solutions, because we can go on and on for much longer than just one program here on Mirrored Voices to talk about all the different ways that sexual violence is used in times of conflict. but it's really hard to think of how can we change that? What can we do to change that? Creating avenues for survivors to be able to speak out and to seek help and to seek justice, I think, is part. But it doesn't necessarily reach that core issue of people seeing women's bodies as just tools for war. And that's a much larger cultural change around the world that we try to, little by little, at least in the context here in Colombia, to talk about in our work with SAPALC. But it's really hard to think of how to do it on a global perspective.
Yeah.
To make people see that women are people is, you know, the fact that people don't understand that is really hard to wrap your head around and try to convince people that they deserve rights. You know, I don't really have a solution either.
It's difficult. And actually, I guess because it's like difficult just read the notice.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, like, the mental health is not so good to to read that or listen about that. So, like, talking about that, I guess, is more difficult. Because there's moment, like, right now, that we have a lot of feminicide. It's so difficult talking about that. Because every day you are listening in the news that was feminicide here in Colombia, and you can talk about that, but it's really difficult that the society is gonna change just like a normal person talking about that. We need trying to find like a person with the power trying to talk about that. Obviously the community will help a little bit, but I guess for the generation is so difficult to understand that. And it's like a war for a lot of years, more with the old people. Obviously, the old people can understand, but we need more time. So with the Taliban trying to explain that the women have rights and all these things, it's so difficult because they take the religion, like the support of the idea that they have. And change that idea of the religion that they have. It's so difficult because this happened a lot of years ago, and this created a lot of years ago. So it's like a war that obviously we need to do, but it's so difficult sometimes.
Yeah. So sorry to leave us on a note of on that kind of downer, but I think it is important to try to look at solutions of how can we then, now that we understand the reality a little bit better, how to transform it. I think, it is very slow generational changes that take a lot of time to see the fruits of all of that work. But I think that's why it's important to continue participating in this work and at least try, you know. The least we can do is try to transform our society or our community, our family, you know, the conversations we have, to recognize the value of women and not see them as objects for male desire or objects for war or objects for, you know, pawns in a game, but as people with autonomy. Any other final thoughts before we have to sign off for this week?
Nope.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, for exploring a little bit this topic. We know it's not the easiest, but it is important because it is the reality of thousands and thousands of women around the world.
And children.
And children.
Yeah.
And so continue trying to have those conversations in your community and your friends and your family, so that we can little by little make those
a change in the world. And if you know any organizations that are like advocates of these sort of issues, it will be also very important to like make donations and also do your part in helping.
Thank you, everyone. We will be back next week here on Mirrored Voices on Encuentro Radio. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It is the grounding of a foot uncompromising. It's not for going of the lights, not the opening of eyes. It's not the waking. It's
shade, we should be past it. It's the light and it's the obstacle that casts it. It's the heat that drives the light. It's the fire it ignites. It's not the waking, it's the rising. It's not the song, it is the singing.
Could cry.